You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. I am flying solo today, starting a new week off, and I've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit about the weekend in spring training, some of the, not the results so much, as we've talked about before, results don't matter, but some notable performances, I guess. And I want to talk a little bit about just the nature of talking about baseball, a little bit of navel-gazing, but mostly just it's some thoughts I had this weekend about, you know, when you talk about the Dodgers as much as I have the last several years, just some of the things I've noticed about that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about catching Mount Rushmore based on a tweet I saw about what catchers would be on the catcher's Mount Rushmore. And I tweeted out my responses and I got one common response to my picks, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. I also want to tell you, this week, Vince and I are going to be doing something a little bit special, where each episode, we're going to give clues about the top five names on a particular Dodgers leaderboard, starting with number five today and finishing with number one on Friday. Once you have all five names, which means you need to listen to all five episodes this week, simply figure out what the leaderboard is and then email all five names and what the leaderboard is, and you will be entered to win a special prize. We're still working out what the prize will be, perhaps a bobblehead from my bobblehead collection or something else of, you know, something of that sort of value. You're not going to get rich on this, but it's a fun little thing. And I've got a lot of bobbleheads, so maybe we'll let you choose one from my collection. We're not going to tell you when in each episode. We're not going to do the name at the same part of each episode because we don't want you to just skip to that part. So I am telling you that at some point in this episode, I will give you the clue for number five on this leaderboard. All right. So now let's jump into our actual podcast talk. There were some, I guess maybe the most notable thing was Trevor Bauer's start on Saturday in spring training, and he apparently pitched a whole inning with one eye closed. I will be honest, I didn't watch that game live. I was at a baseball tournament with my son all weekend, and so I did watch some of Bauer's performance live on my phone while sitting outside a Red Robin waiting to get lunch with my son and some of his friends. But obviously it was, I couldn't hear anything on my, and couldn't really see really well on my phone. And I think it was after he had done this one eye thing. My main takeaway from that was, well, we are hard up for news in spring training. I don't know. Or maybe it was more that, wow, anything Trevor Bauer does is going to get a lot of publicity, which is fine. I don't have an issue with that, I guess. Trevor Bauer is probably the only pitcher who would do something like this and especially point it out. But as Dave Roberts said, they don't question the method. There's a method to his madness. For me, it seems kind of overblown. I don't know, if Bauer thinks that it does help him hone something in, great. I'm glad he's doing it. I have a hard time seeing what that would be, and I don't know why it would be harder to pitch with one eye closed. Because really, when you're coming at it, your head is kind of off center, so you're not really looking at the catcher with both eyes at the same time anyway. So I don't know. It doesn't jump out as me at me as being super notable, but according to social media, it was the most notable thing to happen in the last 800 years. So that was interesting to me. And like I said, if it makes him better or if he believes it makes him better, either way, I'm totally in favor of it because he pitches for my favorite team, so I want him to pitch well. Other things, Gavin Lux and Matt Beatty both continued to hit, and I'm a big fan of this. I'm actually going to talk a little bit in the second segment about being wrong about things, but I feel kind of good about, you guys know I am on the Lux train. I believe Gavin Lux is going to be great, and I think we are seeing, you know, obviously spring training results don't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. We've said it before, but what you do look for in spring training is approach and what guys are doing, and Gavin Lux looks like he has figured some things out offensively, like looks confident at the plate. It looks like he's gonna rip the ball, and I don't expect him to, you know, to bat 500 in 2021 in the regular season. I don't even necessarily expect him to bat 300, but, you know, batting averages and everything. But I do expect him to have a solid batting average and hit some doubles and provide value on the bases and value on defense. And so I'm feeling good about that. I'm also, as you guys know, I'm a big Matt Beatty fan. I believe Matt Beatty is an excellent hitter, not just a solid major league hitter. I believe he is a great hitter, and I think we're seeing that, and I hope that we can, that the Dodgers can figure something out for him defensively to give him that opportunity to get plenty of at-bats, because I think he can really contribute offensively. Another guy that has stood out to everybody is DJ Peters. We talked a little bit about DJ Peters the other day, and he has continued to rake. He hit another monster home run on Sunday that included, if you haven't seen the highlight, go watch the highlight, and specifically watch the fan who ended up with the ball. He had a Mookie Betts jersey on, but let's just say he was not the graceful fielder that Mookie Betts is. But DJ Peters, he destroyed that ball. He has got a ton of power, and as I've said all along, if he can get the strikeouts down to a manageable level, he could be a valuable major league player. I don't know if there's really a spot for him on the opening day roster yet. He might need to wait for AJ Pollock's annual injury, but he's definitely impressing. And then the other one that stood out on Sunday was Dennis Santana. He looked really good. Apparently he got up to 97, and Santana has always been a guy who, he's not a junk baller, but his off-speed stuff has really stood out more than his fastball. But if he can complement that off-speed stuff with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and if he could command it, there's potential for him to really contribute to the bullpen. And, you know, I still think it's a long shot, but I root for Dennis Santana. I've talked about this before. I really like him as a person. He's genuinely nice to my kids when he signs autographs for him, and that's a big deal to me. So I root really hard for Dennis Santana, and I would love to see him force the issue. We did find out that Joe Kelly is still dealing with a nagging injury, and so that might open up a spot on the opening day roster for a guy like Dennis Santana. I still think it's more likely that it opens up for one of the lefties in the bullpen, or, you know, we also have Brandon Morrow and Jimmy Nelson, who are both non-roster guys, who there's maybe only room for one of them on the 40-man roster, possibly more if they'd have to DFA somebody to get both of them on the roster. But so there are potential spots in the bullpen for a guy like Santana. And I definitely am starting to think, well, we might see him actually contribute to the team in 2021, even if it's not on the opening day roster. So those are kind of my takeaways from the weekend. As I said, I didn't watch a lot of live games because I was at the baseball tournament, but I did watch as much as I could, and I caught up on what I had missed. And those are my takeaways. If you think I missed anything, I would love to hear from you. I will be back in a minute to talk about the nature of talking about baseball and a specific team as much as I do, and some of the pitfalls of that. But first, I would like to talk to you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. We have March Madness coming up. So much stuff going on in sports, not to mention baseball season is getting ready to start. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Dodgers, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, before we jump into my second segment, it's time for that clue that I promised you for our leaderboard for the giveaway. The clue for number 5 on the leaderboard is this 2-time All-Star played his entire career with the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers, leading the National League in batting average in 1953. That's your clue. He is number 5 on the leaderboard. At the end of the week, you will give us all 5 names and what the leaderboard is, and email those to us for a chance to win. All right, we're going to jump into my conversation. I've had some thoughts this weekend, just thinking about how much I talk about baseball. And I've mentioned Time Hop a time or two, I think. I use Time Hop. I check it every morning, and it's kind of fun to see stuff I've said in the past. I have it connected to my Facebook and my Twitter. Facebook is mostly just Smart Aleck stuff. I had one the other day that 10 years ago I was dealing with a back injury that eventually led to 2 back surgeries. And I saw on Facebook 10 years ago on Sunday, I said, the worst thing about this back injury is my back hurts the most when I'm sitting on the toilet. That's like a bird that hurts the most when it sings. So that was pretty mature of me. Apparently at 33, I was pretty mature. But I do also see a lot of my previous tweets, and I've discovered that when you talk as much about baseball as I do, you're going to be wrong a lot of the time. You're also going to be right a lot of the time, and I do like to pride myself on having having intelligent takes, intelligent thoughts. I have never said anything on this show, or in general, I try not to ever say anything just because I think it will get a reaction. I don't believe in hot takes. There are things I believe that a lot of people disagree with, but I would not let the fact that people disagree with it influence me to believe that, if that makes sense. My opinions are mine. There's actually somebody who I've seen on Twitter basically, I'll put it this way. I won't call anybody out directly, but maybe if you've seen this person, you might know who I'm talking about. If you feel the need in your Twitter bio to say, these are my honest opinions, maybe your opinions are just dumb and people accuse you of trolling because it's hard to believe that anybody would actually think that way. That's the case with this one specific person anyway. So I don't make a big deal out of it. I feel like it ought to be just understood that if somebody states an opinion, that's their real opinion. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. But I do believe in, I say what I think is going to happen. I try to have enough humility to recognize that I'm going to be wrong a lot. And there are very few things I'm confident enough in to state them as fact. Very, very few things. And so maybe that's why I'm not in real sports talk radio, because you have to kind of be like Jim Rome was always made me laugh, because basically Jim Rome's whole shtick was, I'm going to say the most controversial thing I can think of that at least 51% of my audience will agree with. Like, he wanted to be controversial, but he also wanted to say things that people would agree with. And so he really walked that line, and what he lacked in insight, he made up for in bravado. And I'm more of hey, I tell you what I think. And sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. And, I've been seeing some examples. One of the examples of where I was wrong, I thought the Dodgers should trade Max Muncy after 2018. I thought they should sell high on him. I didn't believe in him to repeat it. And then he did. And now I'm totally on the Max Muncy train. I think he is an excellent hitter and excellent offensive performer, not just hitter, but his patience at the plate, his solid at bats, working the pitcher. I love Max Muncy, and I'm glad that I was wrong about that and that the Dodgers didn't listen to me. In 2017, I was thrilled when the Dodgers traded for Brian Dozier. I thought that was a great trade. Part of that was that they got rid of Logan Forsythe in that trade, and I was on board with anything that got rid of Logan Forsythe, but I did expect Brian Dozier to really contribute to the Dodgers, and he absolutely did not do anything close to what I expected him to do. And then we all know the famous one last year when I was very wrong I underestimated the importance that Victor Gonzalez would have to the 2020 Dodgers, and still owe somebody an Eaton shoe for that. But I've also noticed sometimes I'm right, and some of it is dumb luck, but some of it, you know, I really, really do put a lot of thought into my talking about the Dodgers. Before the 2019 season, I told several people, including on the record, on some publicly available recorded podcasts, that Cody Bellinger was one of the five most talented players in baseball, and that what he needed to do was translate that talent to on-field performance. And then, as we know, in 2019, he did. He was one of the two best players in baseball, probably. I had one particular Twitter follower who is no longer a Twitter follower of mine. He got tired of me. We used to argue all the time. He was so dead set that the Dodgers needed to trade Alex Verdugo for bullpen help. And anytime I said anything good about Verdugo, he would say, well, doesn't do him any good. They need help in the bullpen. And I would point out, Alex Verdugo is not the kind of guy you trade for bullpen help. He's the kind of guy to do something bigger with. And then, as you know, the Dodgers eventually traded Alex Verdugo for Mookie freaking Betts. And I said something about that trade and how much I loved it. And this guy, who didn't follow me anymore by this point, but he still apparently was keeping tabs on what I had to say, but he came into my Twitter and said, oh, I thought Alex Verdugo was your boy. I thought you didn't want to trade him. And I had to point out, well, no, I didn't want to trade him for, you know, a middle reliever. But trading him for one of the best players in baseball, yeah, I could get on board with that. And I loved Alex Verdugo, and I still do. But, yeah, Mookie Betts. I guess why I want to talk about a little bit about this is, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably the kind of person who, it's not so much about being right and wrong. It's about talking about the Dodgers. I think we share a love of the Dodgers, and it's fun to talk about them. And, you know, we can disagree on Gavin Lux or Matt Beatty or Dennis Santana or DJ Peters or Trevor Bauer, whether it's disagreeing about what to expect from them or disagreeing on anything else, we could disagree with that with each other and still have fun because we're talking about the Dodgers with other people who love the Dodgers. That's why I love doing this podcast, because I love talking about the Dodgers, and I love that you guys have the same passion for the Dodgers and enjoy listening to us talk about them. I love the back and forth with you guys when I hear from you on social media or email or whatever, whether you agree with me or disagree with me. I think it's awesome to talk about the Dodgers with other passionate Dodger fans. And it blows my mind. You know, we don't have a huge audience, but we have the biggest audience of any Locked On baseball podcast. Any baseball podcast on our network, we have the most listeners. And it kind of blows my mind every time I look at the stats and see, wow, there are thousands of you guys who listen to us every day. And, you know, it's not tens of thousands, it's not millions, but there are thousands of you who every single day come and listen to me and Vince talk about the Dodgers. And it blows my mind. It's something I'm thankful for. And that was kind of what got me thinking about it this weekend, just realizing I'm glad that you guys don't expect me to be right all the time. You just expect me to be honest, I think. And that's what I'm saying. I think I am relatively skilled at identifying a talented baseball player. You know, Gavin Lux, it's not blind faith that I have in him. I look at his skill set. The reason I'm not worried about the defense that so many people are worried about is because he has the skill set to be a great defender. And so the fact that he has had some little issues with throwing, I think that's something you work through. And offensively, he's got such a good swing. He's so fast. There's so much talent there that I believe that most of the time talent wins out. Not always. And that's why what I said about Bellinger before 2019, he needed to put it together and translate that talent to on-field success. But talent-wise, Gavin Lux is so, so good. And so that's why I'm on board. But I think it's great that we don't have to agree on that, because we're still talking about the Dodgers and having fun with that. So anyway, like I said, it was a little bit of navel-gazing. I hope that wasn't too indulgent of me. But I kind of wanted to get that out there, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about that, about all this. Do you enjoy hearing things you disagree with about the Dodgers? Do you enjoy just listening to people talk about the Dodgers? I assume you do, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. So I'll come back in a minute to talk about the catchers, Mount Rushmore, and who is on my list and why. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a long, long time now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchups are Apple Almond Crisp against Churro Puff and Peanut Butter Brownie against Raspberry. So, you know, if you want to vote, there's definitely a lot to think about there. Anything that tastes like churros has got to be awesome. Anything with peanut butter and chocolate in it is awesome. Raspberry and apple, both those are fruit. That's almost too healthy, you know. But the great thing about the Built Bars is even the ones that don't sound healthy, they're healthy. So all you got to do is go to builtbar.com or at built_bar on Twitter and you can vote. And remember, next time you buy Built Bars, use promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both past and present, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I am back, and it's time to talk about this catcher's Mount Rushmore. And I saw this tweet. It was from somebody named Zan Barksdale, who apparently, according to Twitter, a former pro catcher and NCAA Division I coach, author of Catching 101. And he tweeted, Mount Rushmore Catcher Edition. Who are your top four catchers of all time? I'm not going to lie, this is a hard one for me. There are so many catchers that I love for different reasons. I feel confident in saying that Pudge is my clear number one, but the next three are tough. Hashtag who you got. And I quote tweeted that, and I didn't say this, but it was kind of interesting to me because there have been two Pudges. Both of them are Hall of Fame catchers, and they're both actually have a lot of similarities. And so I'm pretty sure he was talking about Pudge Rodriguez, but I don't know that for 100% sure. But my four that I said were Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra, Mike Piazza, and Pudge Rodriguez. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that because I got a lot of feedback, including a lot of people specifically saying Roy Campanella. There were a lot of people who seemed offended that I, a Dodgers podcast host, would not choose Roy Campanella. I had one person mansplain to me that Roy Campanella was a three-time MVP, as if I didn't know that. So that was fun. And so I started thinking about Roy Campanella. I was thinking about, you know, and I put thought, I try not to put too much thought into Twitter, but I actually did put some thought and a little bit of research into this tweet before I tweeted it. And for me, you know, part of it comes down to what you think about Mount Rushmore. You know, does a Rushmore have to be the best players? The guy who created the actual Mount Rushmore, he said he thought George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt represented the most important events in the history of the United States. And so it's not that they were the best presidents, or even that they were the most important presidents, but that they represented the most important events in American history. And obviously, there have been a lot of things that have happened since Mount Rushmore was created. So I was kind of thinking about it. If you're making a Mount Rushmore of catchers, I feel like I got a lot of feedback saying Mike Piazza didn't belong on the list. I don't know if that is Dodger fans who are bitter at Mike Piazza, because I know he has had some hard feelings about the Dodgers. But for me, you can't have a monument to catchers without the best hitting catcher of all time. And Mike Piazza is, without a doubt, the best offensive catcher in baseball history. So for me, Mike Piazza is like a no-brainer. And then the best overall catcher is Johnny Bench. Between combination of offense and defense, he wasn't the best at either, but he was so good at both that he absolutely belongs on the list for me. And then, the last two for me, Yogi Berra and Pudge Rodriguez, I went back and forth with Rodriguez. I thought maybe Gary Carter. I thought maybe Carlton Fisk. I looked at a lot of different guys. But for me, Pudge was probably the best defensive catcher of all time. And Gary Carter was close. But I think Pudge was the best defensive catcher. Maybe not the best at any one moment, but the combination of great defense for a long time is something that Rodriguez and Carter had over, some other guys, including one that I'll talk about in a minute. So that's why I went with Pudge Rodriguez there. But I think on a different day, I might have chosen Gary Carter. I might have chosen somebody else. And then we're talking about importance in catchers. Seems like the starting catcher for 8 World Series champions and part-time catcher for 2 other World Series champions. I know winning a World Series is a team accomplishment, but if we're talking about if we're taking the actual Mount Rushmore approach, no catcher's monument would be complete without Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra also won 3 MVP awards like Roy Campanella did. And I love Roy Campanella, and I think, his career was shortened on both ends by things that were out of his control. He obviously had the car accident. His career started late because of the, racism, basically, in baseball. I think he probably missed a couple good seasons at the beginning of his career. I don't think he missed any great seasons. I think he, came into his prime around 27 or 28 years old, like most guys do. And so I don't think if he had been in the league when he was 22 or 23, I don't think it would have been great. But I think it would have been solid. That adds some to his overall value. I think he gets a lot of extra credit in a lot of people's minds because his career was cut short tragically. And so I think people just either consciously or subconsciously give him, he would have had, 3 more. It's kind of like we do with Ted Williams missing 5 seasons because he was at war in World War II in Korea. We just give him extra credit and say, he would have been even better. I think people do the same thing with Roy Campanella. But the fact is, if you look at it, he wasn't very good the last 2 seasons before his car accident. So it doesn't seem likely to me that he was going to tack on much, if any, value to his career at the end of his career. It just, I think he was done being a really good player already by then. And so, overall, he's in the Hall of Fame, and I think deservedly so. I think the years he missed at the beginning of his career count for something. I think he was excellent defensively, maybe the best throwing catcher of all time. But at the end of the day, I just have a hard time putting Campanella on there. I think he was the first great black catcher, but I don't know. I don't know that quite does it for me. So Campanella, while I love him, he didn't make my list. The other one that I got a lot of pushback on, or at least some, was Yadier Molina. And I respect Yadier Molina. I think he will end up in the Hall of Fame. I think he might even deserve to end up in the Hall of Fame. But Yadier Molina, there's no way in the world that he belongs on a Mount Rushmore of catchers, whether you're going by best catchers, because there's no way he's one of the best 4 catchers, or just, importance. What's his importance? He was good. He played for the Cardinals. Like, that's why he is as beloved as he is, because Cardinal fans are passionate about their players. Yadier Molina is, he is the best catcher in the Molina family. I say that as somebody who, I'm a big fan of Benji Molina. I knew him when he was in the minor leagues. I like Benji. Jose Molina was really good at framing pitches. Yadi is the best catching Molina, but this is not a Mount Rushmore of catching Molinas. If it was, he and Benji and Yadi would all be on it, and they'd have to find a 4th one. Maybe Tucker Barnhart could change his last name to Molina. Yadier Molina is not on. If he is on your catcher's Mount Rushmore, I think you have not put much serious thought into this. And somebody told me that Molina belongs over Piazza, and this person was a Dodger fan and thought that gave the position more credibility. I'm like, you know, it doesn't. I think for Yadier Molina to be on the catcher's Mount Rushmore, you would have to A, believe that that catcher framing is by far the most important thing in baseball, and B, you would have to believe that Yadier Molina was at least twice as good as he actually is at it. You know, he's just, Yadier Molina has been a really good catcher for a really long time. That's it. That I just described Yadier Molina's career. It will probably get him in the Hall of Fame, and that'll be okay. He won't be the best player in the Hall of Fame. He won't be one of the 10 best catchers in the Hall of Fame, but he'll probably be there, and that's okay. But he ain't going on my catcher's Mount Rushmore. I think that's all my thoughts about catching Mount Rushmore. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can find my tweet if you want to respond to that, or you could just, you know, hit us up. That's about all I have to talk about today. There's plenty that went on this weekend, plenty I could have talked about, but you know, I got to leave Vince something for tomorrow's episode. Vince might be with you the next 2 days because Wednesday is crossover Wednesday, and I think Vince is handling this week's crossover episode. So it might be Vince the next 2 days and then me on Thursday, but we'll see how that works out. But either way, thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please do so. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. The DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text there anytime you want. And I want you to know there's a reason we give you all that information at the end of every episode, because we would love to hear from you. So we are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!